Quality Committee, and I'd like to call the meeting to order. Today, we have two items on our agenda, and since we're in overtime, we'll hear them in file order. The first measure is AB 1749 by Assemblymember Mathis, and this is before the Committee on Reconsideration. I'll note that the bill has been substantially amended, and we'll hear from Senator Mathis in a second. The second bill is SB 734 by Senator Galgiani. And it's Assemblymember, excuse me. It's before our committee today pursuant to Rule 29.10, parentheses, baby D, end of parentheses, requiring a hearing on a bill in a Senate committee because the contents of the bill was not previously heard by the House. So we're going to, that's what we'll do. So let's call the roll, Madam Assistant, and let's get started.
Senators Wieckowski?
Here.
Wieckowski here. Gaines?
Here.
Gaines here. Bates?
Here.
Bates here. Hill?
Here.
Hill here. Jackson? Leno?
Here.
Leno here. Pavley?
Assemblymember Mathis, good afternoon and welcome. This is AB 1749.
Yes. Mr. Chair, Senators, again, thank you, and thank you for reconsideration. And I'd like to thank the committee for working with my staff on the amendments and working towards working this out so we can better help Porterville. And with that, just I ask for your aye vote and your support moving this forward. And if there's any questions, it'd be.
Are there any witnesses that you have in support of AB 1749?
Mr. Chairman, other members, Paul Yoder on behalf of the Tulare County Board of Supervisors. We've been trying to help the city of Porterville. The board there has, working with the administration, the assemblymen. They need help, so I'd urge your aye vote on this bill. Thank you.
Okay. Others in support of AB 1749? Is there opposition as amended to AB 1749? Questions of the committee of the bill as amended? There's a motion by Senator Bates.
So we've narrowed the bill significantly. Can you give us any more description as to how the two differ?
So what we've done with the amendments is go more towards what we've done with the stadiums in the past to help streamline. We're still going to do the CEQA, but have the mitigation process take place. That way they can move forward, build the project.
It's the expedition of the legal challenge.
Yes.
And just to remind us, there was a full CEQA exemption or partial in the original proposal?
The original, we were asking for a full CEQA. With the amendments, we are doing the CEQA.
Right.
And following more alliance with the stadiums, which is one of your recommendations, Senator.
Yes.
So we took
a thoughtful suggestion.
So.
Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully no litigation
Senator
occurs.
Bates has moved the bill?
Yes.
All right.
Others?
Is that a second?
Yeah, you may,
we don't
no.
even need one.
You don't need. You may close.
Again, Senators, AB 1749 will extremely help the area of Porterville with getting their water treatment center done. Looking at around 2 million gallons of water increase a day to the city, and it'll help be able to tie in the east side and truly help these people out. And this will be their permanent solution. So I ask for your aye vote.
Right, and I appreciate you taking the amendments and my staff working with you. We don't anticipate litigation, but if it should occur, these amendments are designed to make that go faster. And we've heard from the previous hearing on this, you know, the dire circumstances of East Porterville, and this is a community that does not have safe water, and there should be for multiple years they haven't had reliable water. So I appreciate your taking the time and your tenacity with the amendments to bring the bill forward. And with that, let's call the roll.
Item 1, AB 1749 by Assemblymember Mathis. The motion is due pass. Senators Wieckowski?
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye. Gaines?
Aye.
Gaines, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Jackson? Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Pavley? 5-0.
5-0. We will keep the roll open for the absent members. Thank you. Item number 2 is SB 734, Senator Galgiani. Good afternoon. This is a 2-year sunset extension on the AB 900. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. SB 734 would extend for 2 years the sunset date on the expedited judicial review provisions in AB 900, which was passed in 2011. Currently, the governor has the authority to certify projects that meet certain environmental standards and create highly skilled jobs that pay prevailing wage and living wages. This authority is set to end on January 1st of 2017. SB 734 extends the governor's authority to certify a project to January 1st, 2018. Additionally, SB 734 ensures that contractors are paying prevailing wage to all construction workers employed on an eligible project. Finally, SB 734 allows multifamily residential projects to provide vehicle parking spaces priced, rented, or purchased separately in certain instances. SB 734 has absorbable state costs, and the benefit is increased jobs leading to increased economic growth and recovery in California. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
And you have a witness in support of the Environmental Leadership Project's sunset extension? Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Lori Goldman. I am president and founder of Friends of the Hollywood Central Park. We are building a 38-acre park over the Hollywood Freeway to reconnect our communities, 38,000 jobs, $1 billion project. We are greenhouse gas neutral or better. We are platinum LEED certified, and I ask for your aye vote for this legislation.
2 years is going to do it?
Yes, for us, we're ready to circulate. So.
Excellent. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Others in support of SB 734.
Good afternoon. Anthony Sampson with the California Chamber of Commerce in support.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. Paul Bauer on behalf of 5875 Sunset in support of the bill, and also our partners, the State Building Trades, who I don't see here at the moment, but they are definitely in support with us. Thank you.
So they say.
Scott Campbell, Friends of the Hollywood Central Park, Treasurer, in support of the bill.
Brian Fulb, founding member of the Hollywood Central Park, in support.
Edward Hunt from Hollywood and in support of the bill for Hollywood Central Park. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members, Cesar Diaz, on behalf of the State Building and Construction Trades Council, also in support.
Okay. Is there any opposition to SB 734? All right, let's return to the... Oh, we do have, sorry. Mr. Pone.
Do you want me to leave, Senator?
No.
I can leave.
Sure.
Sure, go ahead, sir.
Sorry. It's okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Dan Pone for the Judicial Council. The Judicial Council is respectfully opposed to SB 734. If my testimony sounds familiar to some of you, it's because this is the 20th bill that has been introduced since 2011 that would propose some form of expansion of AB 900 to broader categories of projects or extend the sunset in its application. As I've stressed before to this committee, the council's concerns regarding this bill are limited solely to the court impacts of the legislation. Council is not expressing any views whatsoever on CEQA generally, or the merits of the particular projects that would be covered by the legislation. Our focus is solely on what the court impacts of this expedited judicial review scheme would be. As I noted with the other recent bills that have sought to expand AB 900, requiring a CEQA lawsuit challenging the additional projects that might be covered under this form of certified judicial review, including any appeals from there, to be resolved within 270 days is problematic for a number of reasons. First, the timeline, this very tight timeline under the bill, is triggered by the certification of the record, which is an event that happens before the case even has any, the court has any jurisdiction over the case.
Time.
So the timeline is already extremely tight and very difficult for the courts to meet, but this clock, this accelerated clock, starts before the case even has come to the court. Second, the 270-day timeline we think is likely to be unworkable or infeasible in practice, just given how long it takes trial and courts of appeal to handle these very complicated CEQA cases. And third, and perhaps most importantly, If this bill is enacted, the expedited judicial review requirements for the additional projects that may be certified under AB 900 will likely have an adverse impact on other cases. As noted in the committee's analysis, CEQA cases are already entitled to calendar preference, and specially trained judge requirements apply in most counties. The ultra calendar preference established by AB 900 has the practical effect of putting all other cases on the court's docket to the back of the line, including cases involving, for example, the Homeowner Bill of Rights, human trafficking, the Aliso Canyon gas leak case, as well as other cases that currently have statutorily mandated calendar preferences, such as juvenile cases, criminal cases, and civil cases in which a party is at risk of dying. So this super accelerated judicial review approach is just simply fundamentally at odds with how the court system is supposed to operate, where we are charged with dispensing equal access to justice for all litigants who come before the court. And then finally, the delays in the administration of justice that would likely result from this expansion will probably be even more pronounced in light of the ongoing fiscal limitations that are faced by the judicial branch. And it's for all these reasons that the council must respectfully oppose SB 734.
But as the staff analysis points out, although it's not determinative, it seems that this is four LA projects that are queued up that are going to take advantage of this two-year period. And don't we have, so that doesn't exclude a Sacramento or a San Francisco case from coming up, but don't we have a de facto CEQA court in Los Angeles set up by the presiding justice so that they're familiar with, I mean, that's all they're doing are CEQA cases, is my understanding, when I toured the courthouse.
I don't believe that's the case, with all due respect. I mean, the courts have a whole variety of cases on their dockets. There's not a separate department that hears only CEQA. They do have specially trained judges at the trial court, not at the court of appeal level. And while these are the projects that are identified as being, you know, desiring of the streamlining, there's nothing in the bill or the extension of the bill that prohibits other projects. And again, I want to make really clear, these may be very meritorious projects. They may create additional jobs, additional housing. That's not our concern, and we certainly understand the importance of those projects. The thing I'm trying to stress is that by moving those particular projects or any project that's eligible for this streamlining to the front of the line, you are delaying justice for every other case on those courts' dockets, including cases that this legislature has prioritized. So that's the issue, not the importance of these particular projects, which I understand.
Others in opposition.
Mr. Chairman and members, Richard Markison, on behalf of the Western Electrical Contractors Association, the Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors of California, Associated Builders and Contractors of California, the Air Conditioning Trade Association, the American Fire Sprinkler Association, and the ABC of San Diego, with a slightly different perspective. The media is replete with examples of CEQA being used for non-environmental purposes. If CEQA does, in fact, require special treatment for these mega projects, we think that that's indicative of additional problems that the legislature truly needs to address. More specifically, we're very concerned and, quite frankly, confused about the recent amendments to the bill that we think are at best redundant. It's very clear that the labor code requires the payment of prevailing wage on public works projects pursued by a public agency. Labor Code Section 1720 is also very clear that private projects that have incentives or other public contributions that exceed de minimis, which is typically as little as 1%, also require the payment of prevailing wage. So we think that those provisions are redundant. We think wages are adequately covered by existing law. More perplexing, quite frankly, is the provision that exempts projects under a project labor agreement from scrutiny by the labor commissioner. It's unfathomable to us that an organization that represents workers would insert an exclusion for the state labor commissioner to enforce prevailing wage requirements. It seems completely contrary to what their responsibility to workers should be, and we believe that both of those provisions should be excised. Thank you.
Well, we are the Committee on Environmental Quality, so as I've said before, we'll try to stay in our silos on it's thank you for the opposition, but stay in our silos on the effect that this measure will have on the environment. Let's close the public hearing, bring it back to members. Questions of the author, Senator Bates.
I have a concern, certainly, with the bundling issue, the unbundling of parking on, I'm assuming, on the sites. I'm assuming that is to discourage, use of our cars. But if these are done in somewhat suburban or close to urban infill, and you have cars, people who occupy these buildings, or if they become living units, parking on the street is a huge issue, is a huge public safety issue in local residential areas, and I know there are many in LA County. So I wouldn't be able to support the bill with that kind of unbundling, because it's been a major problem just in my little suburban city of Laguna Niguel when that was done, and we had a couple of tragedies, and we also had so many cars that started parking on streets that it was difficult to get out of your unit if you happen to have purchased one of the garage or the covered parking areas, because they line up all along the curbs. And in one case, there wasn't an opportunity to go two ways on what was a residential street designed for, maybe occasional parking, but not it becoming parking spaces. So I'd like them to take a look at that. I think it has a noble cause here. It's not about that. But there are unintended consequences many times with some of these things that are really the acceleration of affordability in getting, infill done. But some of it is really not thought through. And those of us who've served at local government, both on the board and of supervisors and certainly on city council, you really need to think about how these come down and when the public works or the planning department has to deal with this kind of thing. So
very good.
I will
remind members that we're under 29.10, so we can't entertain any amendments. It's sort of take it or leave it as the bill is, because it came over. It's a gut and amend that's come over from the assembly side, and that was a discussion on bundling. You may respond anyway, but just so that we know what we're doing here is that it's all or nothing.
Yes, and to Senator Bates, I remember the discussion in Transportation Committee, and I too had that concern and raised that with this bill as well. It is not the intent that we would require that residents are not allowed to have a parking space. That would be opposite of what I would want to have happen. But in the event that you have someone who does not have a vehicle, but then perhaps you have another family that perhaps has two vehicles and needs two spaces, the idea was to allow some flexibility, just allowing flexibility, but in no way was it my intent to shortchange residents from having enough parking. And then we had another issue with regard to whether or not LA has a CEQA court or not. My witness.
Senator, this is Lori Goldman, Friends of the Hollywood Central Park. We have a CEQA court in LA, you are correct, with Judge Chalfant, and it's strictly for CEQA cases.
Well, on the unbundled parking and the clogging of the courts, it is a 2-year extension of AB 900. So, that's the bill before us. Senator Jackson.
Yes, and it sounds like a very exciting project. I'm not marginalizing that at all. And even if there is a judge in L.A. who does nothing but CEQA cases, they are complicated cases. And the more cases the judge gets, the more difficult it's going to be for her, I believe it is, to be able to accommodate and do the job that we all want to have done. So my concern isn't this particular project any more than my concern is with the project that we just considered. My concern is that this is becoming a fairly common thing to try to either expand CEQA timeframes or to circumvent CEQA for particularly important projects. And, of course, everybody's project is important, and sometimes it begins to feel like, who's got the greater power and influence to get their project through. And it feels to me like we are undermining the CEQA process. And this sounds like a wonderful project. I love the fact that it's LEED certified and obviously something that will help the community. It will bring jobs. It's all good stuff. It's just that how many times are we going to create these sort of exceptions before the exceptions become the rule? And I don't have an answer for that. It's really more, I mean, it isn't a rhetorical question, but I don't have the answer for that. And I think it's just as we find, particularly at the end of session, this is when these things sort of come to light. Maybe what we need to do is revisit how important it is that we answer the questions about parking, answer the questions about things that really deal with quality of life issues as much as anything, and have to do with the environmental impact that these things have on our communities, where we live, because that's the most important thing to us, is how this is going to impact the people that we have as neighbors and how it's going to impact our lives. So I'm just torn, because on a, you know, individual basis, there's good cause for these projects. On the other hand, do we want to have a CEQA process? Do we want to require these projects go through a fairly rigorous, but I think intentional and purposeful kind of process to meet the needs and the expectations of our communities? I don't have an answer, but I just find myself asking that question more and more with each one of these requested exemptions. Perhaps it's just because it is a two-year extension, but then who comes in next and says, well, we need 2.5 years, or it's only 3 years, or it's only, you know, are we going to sort of be governing by individual example rather than have a policy that we apply fairly evenly and fairly throughout the state? I don't know the answer, but that's just what my concern is at the moment.
Coincidentally, yesterday, the Rose Foundation for Communities and the Environment had a report that was published with the BAE Urban Economics on this issue of the cost of CEQA, the litigation. It just came out, and I will make sure that I have my copy. I see Senator Pavley has their copy, which is in... suggests, or the conclusions is that they went through empirically all the lawsuits over a period of since 2002, and the conclusions that they draw is that it doesn't cost that much more money for the open process to have the community involved when you do a EIR or you go through the negative declaration that gets public agencies and folks involved. So the suggestion out there that it's a job killer and very horrible, there's some concern of the projects that are included. It sparked, I haven't completely talked with staff, but I think next year it seems timely that we look at this debate. Is it the most horrible thing or the best thing that's going on? I know that Senator Jackson, Senator Hill last year had legislation that would look at some of the streamlining of it.
We may still see that bill. And it is designed just strictly to expedite the process, because that's one of the major complaints. And perhaps I don't know why your project needs that extra 2 years, whether there was some delays or just whatever that might be. But this will yes, we do need to streamline it. We do need to expedite it. And hopefully we have the possibility of, getting that bill heard and hopefully passed this year. It was a 2-year bill. But, yeah, that's one of... Yeah. Many concerns.
I mean, I guess this is in that genre of environmental leadership programs that are special projects that are, you know, silver and gold and all the other things like that. And these are, my colleagues, when I was in the Assembly, Assemblywoman Buchanan and Gordon came up with this, especially in the recession. How can we get some of these really good projects out? And this seems, you pick a date, you put in a sunset, and this looks like, well, maybe there's other projects that are in the queue. Senator Gaines?
Well, Senator, I don't have an opportunity to speak. I see your mic on.
He's already talking.
Just a brief comment, and I share many of Senator Jackson's concerns. But before we make this more than it is, I think it's important just to recognize that since we put AB 900 in place in 2011, there have been six projects. So we're averaging about one a year. And it's not as if we're giving away the store for this eligibility. There are some real significant thresholds that it has to be of a certain size, $100 million of generating revenue, that it has to be environmentally friendly, it has to be no greenhouse gas net emission, right? And to employ so many people. So we're asking for a lot to give a little. And one a year, it's, as I say, I'm not a champion of what we're doing here, but I think that it's, in the scheme of things, it has some rationale to it, and I think it's supportable.
Thank you. I've supported, I think, all of the expedited CEQA that have come through because of the frustration as a result of CEQA, and I'm really encouraged by the discussion that maybe it can be looked at next year in terms of the expedited aspect, the time issue. That's what's creating so much problem, I think, is that when a decision isn't made for 5, 6, 8, 10 years and it kills a project off, versus looking at the project based on the merit and have it go through the normal process, but have it done in a shorter timeline.
Good, so you'll support my bill, which gets that started. Well,
I would love to talk to you. Okay. Yeah, and I wish this would apply to more projects in the state, but I am supportive of it, and I look at sites in Temperance Flat and the drought issues that we have in the state, and they're not included with this expedited process. So it would be nice to actually take a look at CEQA and see if we can't speed the process up for all projects that move through.
Did Senator Bates move it? No. There's a motion by Senator Hill. Senator, you may close.
I wanted to point out that it doesn't streamline the actual CEQA process, but rather it streamlines the process, the litigation process after the fact. I too would like to look at a broader view of what's in place currently and look at what some of the best practices are and ways to make some edits where it's not just about specific projects or just a couple of years here at a time. But for now, it's one step forward, and it allows us to continue to look at what some of the points of agreement are. And I think that this bill reflects the points of agreement on best practices that are out there. So I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Well, let's keep our fingers crossed that next year's budget by the governor will have more court funding, so we won't have this problem. Please call the roll.
Item 2, SB 734 by Senator Galgiani. The motion is that the assembly amendments be concurred in. Senators Wykowski?
Aye.
Wykowski, aye. Gaines?
Aye.
Gaines, aye. Bates?
No.
Bates, no. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Jackson? Leno?
Aye.
Leno, aye. Pavley? 4-1.
4-1. All right. The matter's out. Good luck.
Thank you.
Let's call the absent members on item number 1, if we could.
Item 1, AB 1749, by Assemblymember Mathis. The motion is due pass. The current vote is 5-0, with the chair and the vice chair voting aye. Absent members Jackson?
Am I the only absent member?
No. Okay.
Absent member Jackson? Yes. Pavley?
Aye.
Pavley, aye. 6-0.
That matter's out 6-0. We are adjourned. Thank you very much.